This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Well, we was just in a zone coverage the first two, and I just got a good read on the quarterback. Broke on the ball, just believing what I saw from film study. And then on the last play, we was just in cover man-to-man. And I just felt him leaning against me. And when that happens, she's about to break. So I just felt the break point, and I just went with it. And when I broke and looked, the ball was coming, and I just tipped it.
Bills corner Trey White on the tip that led to the game-sealing interception by Cole Bishop, as we welcome in Jeremy White, the Jeremy and Joe show on WGR in Buffalo. Jeremy, I'm going to admit to you that Gene booked you in advance of thinking that the Bills were going to lose to Jacksonville, that this would have been a blame assessment Monday, and you would have been the greatest guest to have on to point the finger at Brandon Bean for not getting us wide receivers and building a roster that isn't Super Bowl caliber.
Now, in defense, he's the greatest guest anyways, all right?
Maybe, of course.
Maybe. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm good. You guys are setting me up like I'm the guy that like wants them to lose, or like when I told you so. The good news is it's all water under the bridge because he has saved their offense. Everybody gets to win. The Bills got a receiver that makes a difference. They're winning games, and go win the whole thing.
All right, so let's start with the receivers, because Cook's catch was great, but he's had a good game and kind of some bad drops in there as well. Gabe Davis looks like he'll be done for the rest of the postseason. We saw Keon Coleman deliver a stiff arm. I don't know what that leads to against Denver and moving forward. What are your thoughts here? Does it matter because Josh is just distributing the ball with such... I mean, he's just doing such a great job of taking what defenses are giving him and being safe and being playoff Josh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I did pick the Bills to win. I joked with Joe this week that I'm going to pick them to win every game they play. I know that. But that doesn't mean I'm kind of a cop-out, right? I'm going to time, but I'm going to pick them to beat the Jags because I'm not going to bet against Josh Allen. And then if they win that game, like here it is, Denver. Like, I'm going to pick them to beat Denver. Well, what about the following week? Like, I'll pick them to win there. But I just want to not get ahead of myself. So when you've got Allen playing at the level he does, and this wasn't jump over dude Superman. This was surgically doing everything he's supposed to do. 80% completion percentage. They threw it short and they threw it long. They kind of diversified their pass game. They had better protections in place. You know, there'll be other challenges along the way, but I thought this Jags team was a legitimate threat to them, and absolutely, like, on their level. These two teams are very close, but you have Allen, they have Lawrence, and Trevor Lawrence is good, but he's not that guy, you know? So with Allen, I mean, would it be better if he had a little bit more help? Sure, but he might just find a way to do it anyway. And then, we'll get to the offseason. They'll go get him some help, and they'll try to win it again. So, I feel really good about where they are. And a big part of it is because of what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich have done with a defense that's kind of, a lot like the wide receiver room. They're just piecing it together. They're getting it done. I think it's a really good team that's really, really well coached.
Yeah, and they put up 27 on the road in a playoff victory when really one of your strengths of the team, Jacksonville took away. Like, we really didn't know, like, okay, they're good, but who have they played? No, that run defense is pretty good. James Cook didn't really have much to work with, had the 11-yard gain. And, you know, as far as Josh Allen and the tush push, you know, thank goodness the NFL denied Sean McDermott, we're still using that play here, Jeremy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, Jacksonville took away what they do well, running the ball. And, you know, you hear endlessly about the Bills' run defense, how bad it is. But the next time the Bills get knocked out of the playoffs because of their run defense will be the first time. It has not happened. And their run defense is pretty consistently, you know, okay to bad. The Bills want to pass and stop the pass. That's been what they are for quite a long time. Now they've added this running element with James Cook and this offensive line, which, again, wasn't able to really do that much. But if you've got Josh Allen, you probably can pass at some level, right? If you can't, you've got major, major problems. But I just thought that the game itself, with the way they were able to I guess, commit to the run, Jacksonville respected it to a degree. But I mean, the Jags, they just missed on little things. And, you know, if you're a Bills fan that watched during the drought forever, you had lots of games you thought you were good enough and just lost in the littlest thing. Or if you're the Bills, these last 3-4 years against Mahomes, you thought you were right there on that level, but lost on the littlest thing. And I think that, you know, it's the first round matchup, but that's what this game looked like to me. It looked like a game where the other team is going to go to their graves and going to go to their offseason saying, like, we were right there. What happened? And what happened is, you know, you ran into the buzzsaw that is Josh Allen.
I want to talk a little bit more about the job that McDermott and Babbage did on the defense, because I feel, and Jacksonville admitted as much after the game, that everything that they're doing pre-snap, everything that they're doing post-snap, and disguising their coverages and really confusing that offense, that really prevented them from doing what they wanted to do. And I feel like, I mean, Sean Payton's a great coach, future Hall of Famer most likely, but Bo Nix is still a young quarterback in this league, and that they might be able to confuse him here coming up this weekend on Saturday.
Totally. And, you know, over the course of this season, they have made some of the best quarterbacks look not great. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had one of the worst games of his career against the Bills, and then, of course, their season went off the rails. But the second half, Drake May in New England, he all of a sudden kind of withered back into a shell of himself. Trevor Lawrence ends up with 207 passing on 30 attempts and got picked off twice. So, you know, it's not like they're doing it against these tomato can backup quarterbacks. In fact, most of their losses this year were to bad quarterbacks, which is kind of strange. But, you know, I have a lot of faith that, you know, no Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar, that narrative that's been out there, those are just the guys that we know can counterpunch. And the only guy I think you might have left in the entire NFL playoff field you might feel can do that might be Stafford. And we'll see about Drake May. Like, he's still very much a work in progress. I don't mean like he's incomplete, but just like we're still learning just how good he is. But Trevor Lawrence couldn't do it, right? He had a minute to get down the field for a field goal. And on the first play, it's over. So I think McDermott and Babbage deserve so much credit. They lose Jordan Poyer. He's somebody that saved their defense this year, right? Look at the defensive line. In 5 years, 10 years, we will go back and the names on the defensive line will be a trivia question. Other than like Deion Walker, who's been a really, really nice addition to this team, and maybe TJ Sanders too. But like Andre Jones is out there. And like it's just being pieced together as best they can. So I think they deserve a ton of credit. I think they coach above their talent quite often.
Yeah, I mean, one player that is playing at a level that none of us expected. How do you explain what we're seeing out of Tre'Davious White? Now, you could just say, hey, he's healthy, which that's certainly a big part of it. But, Jeremy, you don't see corners at the age of 30 quite often performing the way White not just did just yesterday, but here down the stretch for Buffalo.
Yeah, and he's like, it's heart and soul and a good story, and he's also good too, right? And again, like, it wasn't just a one-off. That wasn't just one game where he found the fountain of youth. Has he been doing it for the last 2 months? Where early in the year against Jalen Waddle, maybe there's a little bit of a struggle. And early in the year against Stephon Diggs, a little bit of a struggle. Maybe he's not going to be the best guy to throw it against the fastest burner receivers, but he's had a really good year. And Maxwell Harris thing going out with the injury, like, I don't know. I wasn't that worried about it. Those two had been kind of platooning as is, and you know how much they probably want to get Hairston on the field. And in training camp, they said that Trey White was winning the job over Maxwell Hairston. So it's really been just a really nice development. I think their secondary, you've got Benford, who's a lock, And it's really come together. I like to point out all the time, you know, you guys, we're next to each other at training camp. And in training camp, we were waiting to see what was going to happen with the safeties. And after their, second preseason game, Sean McDermott said, we're still looking for who's going to start next to T-Rap. Like, think of how far Cole Bishop has come in 4 months. They were, I'm sure, still of the belief that he could do it, but he was not even locked into the job. And he's come along so well. So whether it's development from, you know, young players, if it's contributions from veterans, I'm the first one to have a little fun at, like, oh, Jordan Poyer, Jordan Phillips, Trey White, the whole gang's coming back. Yeah. But, you know, well coached, and they make sure these guys are prepared.
So, Jeremy, in that spirit, to see Jordan Hancock back there, and he'll look great against Jacksonville, but I actually am not worried if Poyer is forced to miss time, because I like the idea of them spending time this week working on Hancock, making sure that any faults that he had in Jacksonville get cleaned up in time for Denver on Saturday.
Yeah, a week to prepare will make a big difference, right? You would hope. I mean, Poyer has been back there and just kind of, I mean, a lot of people thought he was kind of shot in Miami, and it was maybe one last prayer for him to get back on the field, but he thought he could play, and turns out he was right. So Hancock, we'll see. I mean, we saw him a little bit in training camp. We saw him a little bit throughout the season, and there have been some positive signs. They end up leaning on this rookie class quite a bit. Maybe not everybody, but, you know, Hairston plays. Sanders and Walker are two of the guys that dress over, by the way, Larry Ogunjobi, who was a healthy scratch. Landon Jackson's hurt. And then you've got, of course, Jordan Hancock, who is a part here. And, if you know, Dorian Strong, if he's not injured, would he be a part of this team as well? So the all-defensive draft that was kind of designed to give them playmakers and give them depth, and that has really kind of come to pass. It's worked out for the Bills, and they're getting these contributions from these players that the coaches just have so ready.
Jeremy White, our guest. Jeremy, forgive me if you did this morning. I was listening for part of the show, but did you have another draft of former Buffalo Bills that could rejoin the team? Because there is a need at wide receiver here. Are you thinking Mecole Hardman, or is there another option out there that we're not seeing right now?
Well, we've got a couple of big names that have just become available. Trent Sherfield is available because every playoff team that had every team that got eliminated, their practice squatters become UFAs. Trent Sherfield, former Bill, he blocks. Can he be Gabe? Maybe. KJ Osborne, former UB Bull. Huh? Naheem Hines is available if you want to go down that road, because I don't know what Ty Johnson's status is. So, I don't know what they're going to do at receiver. I think Keon Coleman will get back in the lineup on a regular basis, because they're going to need him. They might be disappointed with him, but, you know, you get the roster that you get, and once you get to the playoffs, you know, it's all hands on deck. Sometimes you have to go to somebody you don't trust, and it just works out. So Coleman will get a good chance here, I think.
Elijah Moore is on Denver's practice squad. Anything there?
Don't you feel like that was a bad split? He was upset. He wanted out. It was a mutual parting of ways, because he thought he should have seen more targets. Mm. Now, is he just going to leave Denver's practice squad and come here because they'll play him? Maybe. But I felt like he was kind of mad when he left.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Jeremy White is our guest. Denver, one seed, something that, gosh, every Bills fan has wanted. Like, get that extra rest, short week. How big a factor is this challenge as big as, you know, going into Jacksonville this past week, Jeremy?
No, I think Jacksonville's a tougher test. I mean, Denver might have a better defense, and they have star power on their defense, Denver does, that Jacksonville maybe lacks. I mean, the Jaguars have Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker and a couple names, but for Denver, Zach Allen, Nick Bonito, Patrick Surtain, like, you just have a couple of potential game wreckers on that defense. It's been a good defense for a couple years, but I just don't think Bo Nix is going to do much against this Bills defense, and Denver doesn't really run the ball all that well either. So even if they did, I'm not afraid of it. I'm never afraid of a team running all over the Bills, because it never ends their season. So I like their chances. I think they'll put Bo Nix in a blender and Josh Allen in prime time, if it is at 8 o'clock, which I think it should be. In Denver, the forecast is 56, ooh, 55. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a beautiful day for football. And I think the Bills are going to go in and win.
I was going to ask you, what's different about this Denver team versus the team that the Bills eliminated from the playoffs last year, 12 months ago?
They're better at winning close games. I mean, that's really about it. Denver has a bunch of one score victories. And like, listen, I'm not here to discount those. I tend to think that, you know, the Bills used to get grief for not being very good in one score games. Like there was a year there where they were like, I don't know, 0-6 or something. But that all just kind of, you know, goes back and forth. Sometimes you win the one score, sometimes you lose the one scores. But the thing with the Bills has always been they're so good at one score games, they often turn them into 2 and 3 score games. Like you earn the right to win by two scores. So Denver hasn't really put teams away. And, you know, if you're not putting teams away and you're playing Josh Allen and you're not used to putting teams away, then I got bad news. That's probably going to go poorly for you. So I don't know. I respect every team in the AFC field. I also know the Bills this year have the stinker kind of in them more than years past. So you never know. But I don't view this year's Denver team as much different than last year's, except you get Bo Nix with a little more experience.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Jeremy, the one thing that I think most of us knew yesterday going in, all right, the Bills haven't won on the road in the McDermott era, and you go back to 1992. Here's the thing I wasn't tuned in on. The last time the Bills actually had a fourth quarter comeback, meaning, hey, they're trailing in the fourth quarter in a playoff game, 1993. That was the single-digit Raider game that I froze my you-know-what off at. Jeremy, like the idea that all these playoff games, the majority of them, I should say, are all coming down to the last second, and you have all these wild kind of flip-flopping and lead changes in the fourth quarter. How big is that that the Bills now have not only shown you, hey, they can win it on the road, but, hey, they're down in the second half, fourth quarter. Now we can put that to rest as well.
Did you notice that all the games over the weekend were kind of like that? Especially the first three, where Rams and Panthers is kind of feeling it out, and then the second game kind of feeling it out, and the third game as well. The points per quarter, I saw a breakdown of the points scored per quarter, and all these games were like 29 points in the fourth quarter. You get 6 in the first and 12 in the second and 8 in the third, and then the fourth quarter, everybody just kind of goes nuts. It's like a basketball game almost. You don't have to even pay attention to the last 2 minutes, right? And the first three games that were played, all three teams that had the lead at the 2 minute warning lost. And like that kind of gets to a little bit of the receiver conversation for me is you have to throw the ball. You can be the best run team in the world. You're going to get to games where you're going to have to throw the ball. And if you have Josh Allen, of course, you always have a chance to do that. So with him, I never doubt that they can do it. It's a matter of, will the guys catch the ball? Will they get open? Will the calls be right? And, in Jacksonville, they had it all working.
And, Jeremy, let's not forget, for all of that was made last week leading up to this game, what we have coming up here on Saturday, Matt Prater revenge game. I mean, Matt Prater was for all the talk of the kicking game and Cam Little and his massive leg and everything that the giant advantage that the Jags had in the kicking game. Hey, Matt Prater didn't cost the Buffalo Bills, even though he's certainly not 100%.
Good for him, right? I mean, it was nerve-wracking the week. Like, what will they do? Who will they elevate? But hopefully he came through the game all right, because I know the Bills, like that injury report is going to hit tomorrow, and we're going to need 6 pages because all the guys that are hurt. So hopefully Prater came through okay.
Yeah. Thought on tonight here, Steelers, because I know you're a big Steelers fan. We can look ahead. The team can't look ahead here, but if the Bills get by Denver, Jeremy, New England. I don't want Houston, but would you take Pittsburgh here? Do you give them a chance? I mean, I don't know if you knew this or not, but they haven't lost at home on a Monday night since 1991.
Well, congratulations to them. My favorite thing on earth in football to do is listen to Pittsburgh radio the year after they get knocked out of the season. And I've got plans to do that tomorrow. So they bet they have to lose. Houston going to New England. We'll see about that. Like, you know, I don't know who I would pick to win that game. It might be New England. Like I think that it really could line up for Bills at Patriots for the AFC Championship game. And that'd be quite juicy. But tonight, you know, Houston's nasty at home. I don't know how much I trust their offense. Like, what's C.J. Stroud going to do to this Bills defense that Trevor Lawrence couldn't, right? Like, I don't have a ton of faith in it. So, I don't know who is the biggest threat, but I can't quite say I'm rooting for Houston. If Pittsburgh wins, that's fine, I suppose. But it's just personal for me. My favorite yearly tradition is the Pittsburgh loss in the playoffs by 40. And then the explanation how if Mike Tomlin got fired, he would get a job in 5 minutes, even though he would now have the longest active playoff losing streak in NFL history, tied with Marvin Lewis.
All right. So you've got some appointment listening, hopefully tomorrow. But while we have you on, Jeremy, we'd be crazy if we didn't at least get some of your thoughts on what's going on with the Sabres. I mean, at minimum, you could say they're fun. You could say they're certainly in playoff position now, so you could say they're playing like at least a playoff team. But we also know that your super secret Sabres source is back in the mix, and the trade deadline will happen here at some point, and the Sabres might be buyers for the first time in a long while.
Yeah, I think so. I think they will. I think they're legitimately good. I think they will make the playoffs. And being at the arena lately, it has been, I mean, it's been amazing. It's been refreshing. It's just different. I was there on Saturday night, and it felt like a huge reunion party. I know they're going to have the 05-06 reunion game, but Saturday felt like everybody just kind of coming back. And this has not just been Saturday, but that's the last time I was there. Everybody coming back like we've emerged from the abyss. Right? Everybody is the Andy Dufresne in Shawshank in the rain. We're all just in the arena like, we're out. I think we're actually, this time it's real. This time we're out. So I think they're good. I think they have a great shot to make the playoffs. I think they will. As long as they get saves, right? If they get saves, they should be fine. And if they stay healthy.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that. Jeremy, what do you do at goal? I mean, are you hoping one of these guys get hot, or are you hitting the button if something is good out there? What are your thoughts?
Well, I know they want to ditch the three-goalie system, but one of them is always hurt, so they haven't had to do that yet. I know it looks like Colton Ellis will play against Florida tonight. So, okay, I don't know what Yarmo thinks about this. And to me, that's another reason to kind of get excited about what's happening is whatever happens at the end of the season or off-season or trade deadline, like Yarmo does not have the ties that the former GM would have had to a lot of these players. If he thinks Bo Byram is worth locking up for long term, then he can trade Owen Power if he wants to. Wondering who he thinks are his core guys is part of the fun here. And it just feels like everything might be on the table in terms of reshaping this roster. So they've got a lot of nice pieces. And goalie is one that, you know, would he pursue somebody from the outside? It's possible. Is Lukanen playing well enough to get his job back, or is he playing well enough for Yarmo to take a look at that and think like, maybe I can set him over here and make a corresponding trade to get somebody that I think is really good?
Was this turnaround, Jeremy? Was this all about Yarmo coming in and Adam stepping out? I mean, do you put it solely on that one factor?
I don't know what you put it on. How many different players went from to they're good now?
Yeah.
Like Samuelson. Samuelson went from buyout candidate, and Kevin Adams, you know, he said they didn't once consider it. There's reason to consider it. He's playing pretty rough hockey, and he's great. And Byram, for me, Byram went from a guy like, I don't know, low event. What do you do here? I'm sold on this offensive upside, and I don't really know what's going on. And now he's also awesome. The Paterka for Josh Doan trade was it the Paterka for Kesselring trade or Paterka for Doan? Either way, Doan is a better player than Paterka, and now you've got Kesselring, who, if he can get in the lineup, we'll see what that is. He's been battling injuries pretty much since day one. So good cagey moves by Kevin Adams. Took a little, probably too long to get them to happen, but they've got it. And I'll tell you the other thing there, guys, like, watch them. They're a fast team. Mm-hmm. There's loose pucks, and they're fast. McLeod is fast, and they put pressure on other teams just by playing with speed. So I think the remake of this team into a fast team has been pretty good. I think you get buy-in as well. I mean, how hard has it been for any of these players to buy in to what they're doing for 4, 5, 6 years? Now, a quick GM change and a win streak to come directly with that and a full building. Like, I bet these guys, instead of, not that they would have been dreading playing, but I bet they can't wait to play every night because, how good is it going to get? Where's it going to go?
One thing I just find this amusing. I think it's fantastic for the area, for the economy. They're going to announce the NHL draft coming up. That's great. Get Buffalo in the regular rotation. Now, next time you do this NHL, can you give us more than 5.5 months lead up time?
More than what?
Yeah, like the announcement that the NHL draft is coming in June, as you compare it to the NFL, where they're warring drafts years out here compared to the NHL.
I found that incredible, too. Also, the announcement that the NHL draft is coming, like, far be it from me, they don't put these press conferences on for me, but it feels like that's just an email, right? Like, hey, we're going to have the draft there. The commissioner's coming in for it and going to be at the press conference. So, you know, announce a stadium series game while you're there. I mean, let's. They did have a press conference to announce their corporate partnership extending, too. So, I don't know. They're getting their press conference quotas in.
Jeremy, appreciate you giving us some time on a Victory Monday, man. We'll be listening for you tomorrow morning with Joe on the Odyssey app as well, man. Be well.
Yes, you too, guys. Anytime.
Jeremy White, you hear him every morning on WGR, Jeremy and Joe. A lot of confidence. A lot of confidence going into Denver. A lot of confidence in this team moving forward.
Well, based on the matchup, what worried a lot of us, me, others, about Jacksonville, like that defense for Jacksonville, tough to run against, the Bills couldn't run against. It was really Josh. And where the Broncos have star power, yes, but you can run on them. Is Bo Nix any better than Trevor Lawrence at this point?
He is not.
Has Bo Nix won a playoff game?
No.
It's a tough assignment, even though the thing I worry about is, okay, the extra rest, lead-up time, but they didn't know who they were playing until the Bills had won that game, or actually New England had sealed it in the back. One quick thought here, Danger, because they're just flashing up here on the monitor that John Harbaugh is taking a phone interview with Atlanta today. Great. This is a doozy of a take, and it's from DA, Damon Amendola, who joins us every Friday, the Bill Maddock podcast. He says Howie Roseman should hit the upgrade button.
Ooh.
That Sirianni,
yes,
should be out. Do it 1 year after winning the Super Bowl and then bring in Harbaugh with that roster.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy, but I love that take. Anybody that wants to, like, say a guy like that or Matt LaFleur, since it's fresh, like, Packer defenders and LaFleur apologists are looking at LaFleur like, look at his winning percentage. He's won all these games. He shouldn't be out. What are we talking about here? It's like, the guy just blew back-to-back games against the Bears. That rivalry means more than a lot of other things. And he just got embarrassed, not once, but twice against the Bears. That the conversation is warranted. If they get a deal done with him and he extends, as a Bear fan, I'll take it. But if you're in Philly, and here's the only issue, exception I would take with that take that DA throws out there, is that if you're thinking Harbaugh is an upgrade over Sirianni, I would listen to it. But just seeing the way Sirianni has dealt with A.J. Brown specifically, what makes you think that Harbaugh would be any better in that situation, given what we know about his relationship with Lamar Jackson?
I think it's just, okay, this is in front of the cameras, and there's things that are not in front of the cameras.
That's fair.
That's all it is. That's all it is. Sirianni running down the side. Did I tell you this? I rarely get starstruck. This was over the holidays. I'm in the Eagle locker room, you know, kind of doing my thing. Sitting at his own locker.
Big Dom!
With the nameplate above. Big Dom.
Hey! Of course, like, he has his own nameplate, Gino! He's a dying!
It's Big Dom. I feel like I should go up and ask him a question.
I wanted to kiss the ring, Big Dom. Is that acceptable? Or am I not allowed because you're Italian? Yeah, the Sirianni look isn't great. The A.J. Brown look isn't great either. And maybe maybe you could view Harbaugh as a calming presence, somebody that would know enough to not have that conversation on the sideline, not have that flare up on the sideline. But it doesn't it feel like that's just Sirianni, the way he's kind of wired now, and also kind of the fan base is also the very fiery like that as well.
You know, you're not moving off a coach 1 year after you won a Super Bowl.
So great.
I mean, it's worth a, hey, would we be better off? No, not really. We've got more coming up. Nate Geary, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, 866-4FAN. Brad in Rochester. Hey, Brad.
Hey, I could definitely see in Philly them going after Mike McDaniel as an OC. And then bringing the whole crazy motion, everything, it would make A.J. Brown happy, Devontae Smith happy. And that would make things really interesting in Philly.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Brad, but I think McDaniel's going to be coaching next year.
I think so, too.
I think he's going to be a head coach.
I think at minimum he'll be Cleveland's guy, right?
Unless he's showing up blitzed for these interviews or he's on the Zoom call and he's disheveled.
I don't think he gets blitzed. I think he does other things.
I just think he's altered. As long as he's not altered and he's sharp, because we've seen him sharp. If he doesn't botch these interviews, I think he's a head coach next year. I don't know where, but it wouldn't shock me. And if he's an OC, I think the OC that makes the opening that makes the most sense for OC for him would be
Detroit. Yeah.
I mean, I would hate to see it, but I think that would make.
Oh, I'd love to see it. Have him go up the. I want Mike McDaniel in this league as a head coach, though. I need him at the podium, not even in, when the sun is out. Like, oh, yeah, we're closer to death. Great.
We're going to take a break and come back. You mentioned it. Nate Geary, the Buffalo Bills Radio Network and WGR will be stopping by the Sports Bar 425. We'll talk more Bills Jags. Look ahead to the Broncos matchup coming up on Saturday and tonight's final wild card matchup between the Texans and the Steelers, plus more of your calls at 866-4326, 866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.